Well, this morning, we're going to be starting a series on things that God wants you to know. Now, a lot of times we think God is trying to hide things from us. You're going to see over the next few weeks, God wants you to know. In fact, I'll give you one verse of Scripture that we're not going to look at today, but we're going to look at in a few weeks. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. How much does God want you to know? All of it. Even the deep things of God. God wants us to know. And we're going to start off with the most important thing you need to know today. And that is, you need to know that you're saved. I know I've shared this survey with you before, but up at New Sulphur, we took a survey one time. A lot of different things were on that survey. But one of the questions asked, are you a regular church attender? Out of the 100% of the people that said they were a regular church attender, we asked the next question, are you absolutely sure of your salvation? And folks, 65% said, no, I am not absolutely sure of my salvation. I don't know about you, but that was astonishing to me. 65%, that means only 35% of the people in the church really are absolutely sure of their salvation. In fact, Billy Graham, who's been all over the world and preached in almost every nation you can think of, said that he would be surprised if any more than 35% of the church is actually saved. Now, we got to bring that down to home. If that was true at New Sulphur, which is a strong Bible-believing church, and if that was true where Billy Graham went, one of the best known evangelists ever, that he thought only 35% of the church was actually saved. Folks, we need to look at Centerpoint. We are a strong Bible-believing church. I will agree with that absolutely. But I'm not convinced we're all sure of our salvation, but you can be. And you need to be. What does it mean when 65% of the people that are regular attenders of the church say, I'm not absolutely sure of my salvation? To me, that means 65% of the church ought to be in the altars getting to make sure you know. It's that important, and I understand the doubts. I was saved at 8 years of age. And from 8 to about 18 or 19, I had doubts. I mean, I couldn't believe how many times I would hear a message, and I'd cry, oh, God, save me. I thought, He saved. Why was I letting the doubts go around in my head? Because I did not have it settled. And I've shared with you before, it doesn't matter what position you have in the church. You can still go to church and be lost. One time when I was growing up, we had a revival and nobody was saved, had no apparent results from it. But about 2 weeks later, 5 prominent people in the church got saved. I don't remember who they all were, but I do remember one of them was the pastor's wife. You would think she would be saved, wouldn't you? Shows it doesn't have to be. One of them was the Sunday school superintendent. One of them was the pianist. And like I said, the other two I don't remember, but 5 workers in the church, 5 prominent people in the church got saved. I've heard of preachers and I've heard of deacons that ministered for years before they got saved. My own brother, I've shared his story with you, was a very active in the church from the day he was born and was in the youth ministry. And at age 35, got saved. So, folks, you can be in the church. You can be active in the church and still be lost. So, this is so very important. And you may say, well, Brother Greg, how can we actually know that we're saved? Well, we're going to show you that today. The Bible gives us very explicit information on how you can know. God wants you to know beyond any shadow of a doubt. And we're going to look at today where there will be absolutely no doubt about your salvation. You're going to know when you leave here today if you're saved or if you're not. The doubt's over with. We're going to know. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 says, and John writes, he says, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, I like the way the Greek puts that. It says, these things have I written unto you that you may know with settled and absolute knowledge that you have eternal life. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to question. Let me give you an example. And I don't listen to the radio much, but I've heard lately that there's some guy, I think, up in New York that's predicted that the world's going to end on May something, isn't it? May 21st? We had an episode like that up at New Sulphur years ago. Somebody wrote a book that the world's going to end on such and such a date. You wouldn't believe the uproar. People are petrified. What are we going to do? Well, if you're saved, you got to get excited. If you're not saved, you're going to be scared. If you have any doubt in your heart about that date, let me tell you this. One thing's for sure. Jesus is not coming back on May 21st. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says, no man knows the day or the hour. When you least expect him, he's going to come. I promise you, it won't be May 21st. But we had to spend several weeks with our youth up there because they were petrified. They'd literally sit there and cry, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And we said, get saved. If the world comes to the end and you're saved, it's a good day. Folks, if you've got any fear, any doubt in your life at all, you're probably not saved. You need to absolutely make sure. See, God is not trying to trick you. God wants you to know with absolute settled knowledge that you're saved. He wants you to know. John said, I write these things unto you that you may know. That you may know with settled, absolute knowledge. That it's been nailed down that you know. And I told you I doubted for years. But folks, once I got it settled, I've never had another doubt in my life about my salvation. Satan would try to throw thoughts at me, and I'd just laugh at him. And I'm going to tell you why in a little while, why I could laugh at him. But we need to understand that God wants us to know. He wants us to know with every fiber of our being. And that word know means to know in the deepest sense possible. It's not just casually knowing something. Let's put it this way. You're convinced. You're absolutely, totally convinced that it's true. I mean, stop and think about it. Why would God want to trick you and keep you doubting? Well, he doesn't. He wants you to know. Paul said, or John said, I write these things that you might know. So how do you know that you're saved? It's really simple. Now, you're going to say, well, Brother Greg, it's got to be more than that. But I want you to listen to me. We go by feelings so much of the time. Feelings are fickle. They change from one day to the next. But it's a whole lot like getting married. You have to meet the requirements. And what do you have to do to get married? Well, first of all, you have to go get your license. Then you have to have a ceremony. Then the minister or the justice of peace has to sign your license. And then you take your license down to the courthouse and record it. And guess what? From that moment on, it is a fact that you're saved, that you're married. It's a fact that you're married. What if you take your ring off? Still married. What if you don't feel married that day? You're still married. It's a fact. You're married. You are married. It is a fact. It's not a feeling. You know, I don't wake up every morning going, I wonder if I'm still married. I'm married. Somebody asked me the other day, when I'm riding a motorcycle, I don't wear my ring because it really bugs me. And they said, well, why don't you wear your ring? And I told them, I said, well, two reasons. I said, number one, it bugs me. And number two, Diana was standing there. I looked at her and said, we married? She said, yep. I said, I don't need the ring. I'm married. I wear the ring to remind me. But folks, even without the ring, guess what? I'm still married. Being saved is just like that. If you have met the requirements, if you believe, that Jesus is the Son of God, and if you believe that he came and lived on this earth, and that he died for your sins, and that on the third day he rose again, and that he ascended back into heaven, and you confess that belief with your mouth, guess what? You are saved. It is a fact that you are saved. It is not based on feelings. There's going to be days that you don't feel saved. That's where the doubt comes from. That's why I would doubt my salvation because I didn't feel saved. But when it finally dawned on me that I had met the requirements, the doubt disappeared. I don't care how I feel. Guess what? I'm saved. It's not about feelings. It's about faith. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. The key to your assurance of salvation is your faith. I have met the requirements. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he came to this earth and that he died for my sins, and that he arose on the third day and that he ascended back to the Father, and I confess that with my mouth. So guess what? I'm saved. If you miss those requirements, you're saved. Don't depend on your feelings. We don't live by the flesh. We don't live by our feelings. We live by faith. And if you've done that, you're saved. Doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what Satan throws at you. I hear messages even to this day that Satan would like to make me doubt my salvation. But guess what? That's why I can laugh. I go, Satan, you can't even pull that on me anymore. I know I'm saved because I have met the requirements. It doesn't matter how I feel. I am saved. Now, let me share this with you. If you have not met those requirements, you're lost and on your way to hell. Yes, this is a very serious issue, and yes, you do need to know beyond any shadow of a doubt, but you either know that you have or you know you haven't. You know whether you've met those requirements. If you have, you need to be rejoicing in the Lord because no matter what, you know you're saved. If you haven't, today's the day to take care of that. I don't care if you've been in church your whole life. Today's the day you need to take care of that. We are saved by putting our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ alone and in the blood covenant that we have with him. Now, we read the New Testament, and we really don't understand what all that means, but the word New Testament, that phrase, means new covenant. And when you go into it, it's the new blood covenant that we have with Jesus Christ. And folks, a covenant is so much stronger than we realize. You know, we're used to contracts and people break contracts. We're used to promises and people break promises. We're used to agreements and people break agreements. But the only way to break a covenant is by death. That's why we can have absolute, complete assurance that we're saved because of the blood covenant that we have. It cannot be broken. Except for by death. That means if God breaks it, he has to die. He can't break it. By the way, the covenant is between God and Jesus. We just get to be partakers of it, so you don't have to worry about us breaking it. We can't break it. And Jesus can't break it, and God can't break it, so it's a solid, absolute, sure thing. But we need to learn to believe what God's Word says about our salvation and get over the doubting. Now, here's why it's so important that you don't doubt your salvation. Doubt is one of Satan's greatest tools, one of his most effective tools, because as long as Satan can make you doubt, you're going to be completely, completely ineffective for God. Completely ineffective for God. If you're not sure of your salvation, there's one thing I am sure of. You're not sharing your faith with anybody else. If you're not completely sure of your salvation, then you're not going to be sharing your faith with anybody else. And that explains why only 5% of the church ever witnesses to anybody. Now, out of the church, we've got 65% that doubt their salvation. And even out of that last 35%, there's only 5% of the church that ever shares their faith with anybody. And the base problem with that is, the base reason is because we are not absolutely sure of our salvation. We've all seen a lack of confidence in sports teams. We've all seen either an individual athlete or a team that got beat by a lesser talented athlete or a lesser talented team because the less talented team had the confidence that they could beat the other team. And because the other team didn't have the confidence that they needed, they were ineffective. Well, folks, it's the very same way with us. We have to be confident of our salvation. Now, let me share something with you that somebody shared with me a while back, and this is so good. I want you to catch it. I only heard this about 2 years ago, and this was a major revelation. Satan's going to throw doubt at you. He's going to try to get you to doubt the Word of God. Guess what he did with Adam and Eve? He got them to doubt the Word of God. That's why we're in the mess we're in today, because they doubted the Word of God. He said, oh, you're not surely going to die. God didn't really mean that. Today, he still uses doubt, doesn't he? The doubt's going to be there. So let me tell you how to get rid of the doubt. Now listen carefully. This is deep. Doubt the doubt. You catch that? If you're going to doubt something, doubt the doubt. When Satan comes to you and says, you're not really saved, you look at him and say, well, Satan, I doubt the doubt. I'm not going to say, in other words, you're just saying, I'm not going to accept your doubt because based upon God's Word, I know I'm saved. So just simply doubt the doubt. Some of you are still looking at me like I'm not quite getting that. But it's that simple. If you're going to doubt something, just doubt the doubt. When he throws it at you, say, I doubt that. I'm going to stick with the truth. I'm going to stick with what God's Word says to be true. And you can throw all the doubt at me, Satan, but I'm just going to keep doubting the doubt and sticking with the truth and sticking with the fact. You know, we look at ourselves sometimes kind of like the nation of Israel did before they went into sent the 12 spies into the promised land. They, 10 of those spies came back and said, we were as grasshoppers in their sight, talking about the giant sight, and in our own eyes are we grasshoppers. Well, nowhere in the Bible does God tell us to look at our own selves for our source of strength, does he? We need to put our confidence and our trust and our faith in God's Word and in God himself and stop the doubting. The nation of Israel is a prime example of that. But the nation of Israel, God told them, I have given you the promised land. Is there any doubt in that at all? Any uncertainty? He said, I have given you the promised land. Go in and spy it out. And basically what he was saying was, go in and let me show you how you're going to take the promised land. They even came back with huge evidence of fruit. They saw that the land truly did flow with milk and honey. And then 10 of them came back and said, well, we can't do it. We can't take the land. Well, God never said we could. He said, I have given it to you. They were looking at their own strength. They were looking at the confidence that they had in themselves. Their confidence was not in God. Folks, take your eyes off of yourself and put your confidence in God. Put your confidence in His Word. I don't care what's going on around you. I absolutely don't care what's happening around us. God's Word is still absolutely true. And we need to stick to it. I like the way that one of the old manuscripts reads on 1 John 5:13. It says, these things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So he's talking to people who have already believed. These things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So very simply, after you once believed, keep on believing. After you've already met the requirements, keep on believing based upon your faith in God, based upon the fact that you have met His requirements. You know that you're saved. If you've met the requirements, then stand on the facts, not your feelings. Even with me being a pastor, even with me studying the Word of God, I went through a period 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I just didn't feel saved. I didn't feel spiritual. I didn't feel like coming to church. I didn't feel like doing this. I didn't feel like reading the Bible. I didn't feel like praying. You know, if I went on feelings, I would have just be gone. Guess what? It's not about feelings, is it? It's about fact. The fact is I am saved. The fact is I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The fact is God has put a calling on my life. And the fact is I'm going to stick to the facts and not the feeling. If you have any doubt at all about your salvation, then today is the day to resolve those doubts. And folks, I'm going to be real honest with you. If Billy Graham thinks only 35% of the church is saved, we may be a higher percentage than that. But it's probably not 100%. We probably have folks going to church here on a regular basis that are not saved because we've never met the requirement. I'm going to encourage you today, when we have the invitation, to come down. I will be happy to pray with you. I will be happy to show you in God's Word what He says about how to be saved. I've already read it to you earlier. But you can know today, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that you're saved. It's time for the doubt to be over. And in fact, by this time, you already know whether you are saved or whether you aren't saved. But let me put it to you in a way that I hope you can really grasp. But number one, before I tell you that, I hope you're not satisfied or even content with doubting. Oh, don't ever be content with doubting. We don't know what today or tomorrow is going to hold. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow, so this is something you have to take care of today. But folks, you can know that you 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 are a child of God. You can know with settled, absolute knowledge. You can nail it down today. I know the torment of going through years of not knowing. Don't let Satan pull that on you. Get it settled and stick to the facts. When you get to heaven, God's going to ask you one question. That question is, why should I let you into my heaven? And if you say, well, I feel like you should, that's not going to be an answer. But if you say, I've acted in faith according to your word, I have believed on Jesus Christ as my Savior, I have asked Him to forgive me of my sins and to come in and to be my Savior and to be my Lord, I have met the requirements of your word, then He's going to say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Feelings have nothing to do with it. It all about the facts. And if you've done that, if you've met the requirements, then the issue is settled. If you've done that, don't ever let Satan torment you again. But folks, if you have not done that, then let's get it settled today. Let's stand and pray. Father, we come before you, and I thank you so much that your word tells us that you want us to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that we are saved. You want us to know with every fiber of our being. You want us to know in the very depths of our spirit that we're saved. That Satan will never, ever, ever, ever again be able to make us to doubt our salvation. He will never again make us ineffective because we don't have the confidence in you and the confidence in your word that we have been saved. And Father, if there's somebody here today that they're just not sure, oh, I pray that you'd give them the courage and the boldness to come down and to make absolutely sure today. And Father, for those that are not saved, and they know they're not saved, I pray that you would move upon their heart, surround them with your love and with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Move upon their heart and show them that Jesus Christ died in their stead, and that he took their punishment in hell so that they would not have to go to that place of torment. And give them the courage and the boldness, Father, to come forward this morning as well. And we thank you for what you're going to do in this invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.